New England's electric power grid is undergoing a revolutionary transformation. The regional grid, largely dependent on burning climate-changing fossil fuels, is rapidly shifting to clean, renewable resources. The greening of our electric grid is a race against the clock that promises enormous environmental benefits but comes with big risks. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman reports.
New England, we have a problem, warns Dan Dolan, president of the New England Power Generators Association.
It's really hard to be half pregnant, but we're trying.
Problem is, we're creating a hybrid power grid, an electric generating network that runs on a changing combination of fuels and technologies. It's more complex and far less predictable than the regional grid a few years ago.
That's the real struggle and the challenge that we're doing.
Dolan's association represents 90% of electric generators in the region. They use nuclear, natural gas, water, wind, solar, and waste to produce electricity. So what will be the mix of energies that will power the grid in, say, 5 years?
Oof, that's a tough one. My crystal ball doesn't see that far out. It's about as cracked and cloudy as anybody else's.
But Dolan says one thing that is clear is the urgent necessity to reduce climate-disrupting emissions from burning fossil fuels.
Carbon reduction and carbon abatement overhangs everything. We have mandatory requirements to cut carbon emissions economy-wide 80% by the year 2050. How we do that is still very much an open question.
For the answer to that question, visit ISO New England's high-security facility in Holyoke. In a large conference room, a motorized curtain rises, revealing floor-to-ceiling windows, offering a skybox view onto the ISO's vast control room, where the nonprofit oversees the wholesale market and regional flow of electricity. Along the far wall is a curved 60 by 15-foot geographic digital display, a state-of-the-art real-time representation of the New England grid. 350 generators in 6 states connected by 9,000 miles of high-voltage transmission lines that deliver the exact amount of electricity needed at the speed of light to utilities and ultimately you. Gordon Van Welly is CEO and president of ISO New England.
This era that we're entering into, I think, is going to be one of the most challenging eras of our history.
What concerns Van Welly is energy security. Reliably keeping the lights on during the transition to the new, greener grid. Back in the old, predictable days, 20 years ago, when climate-killing coal and oil and carbon-free nuclear plants generated most of their electricity, their fuels were stockpiled on site. But today's generators, their supply insecure.
We have rapidly moved to what we are now defining as an energy-limited system.
Inefficient and polluting fossil fuel plants and expensive to maintain nuclear stations have been shutting down at an increasing pace due to price pressure from relatively inexpensive natural gas. In just 2 decades, the use of frack gas has tripled. It now generates nearly half our electricity. But gas-burning plants are dependent on just-in-time energy supplies from pipelines and trucks. Sun and wind renewables have inexhaustible supplies of energy, but they're intermittent. Less predictable.
What I'm hopeful for is that over the next 2-3 decades, because that's the journey we're on, a multi-decade journey, that those technologies will mature and they will ultimately take over from the fossil fuels to be able to balance the system.
The transition to a cleaner grid is a delicate balancing act. The rise of renewables has been a lot faster than anticipated. They're replacing old fossil fuel plants with a bang. Earlier this spring, twin 500-foot cooling towers were blown up. They were part of Brayton Point, New England's largest and Massachusetts' last coal-fired power plant. As the dust settled, it was clear the days of fossil fuel power generation are numbered. The site in Somerset will be converted to connect the old plant's electric substation on land to wind generators offshore that will be built along the region's coastline.
It's really about transformation to the grid for use as renewables.
Stephen Connett of Massachusetts-based Anabaric Development Partners is manager of the $650 million project.
The grid that we have now is built out for fossil fuels. And in order to enable offshore wind, we need transmission facilities that are going to bring those megawatts to shore. The beauty of Brayton Point is that you just bring up the cable right to shore and connect it into the grid right there.
More wind means more wires. The cables will be buried below the surface. But the beauty of Brayton is more than seafloor deep. Plans call for a giant battery on the site to store enough low-cost wind energy to power 400,000 homes for a few hours, releasing the electricity during peak demand, selling it at premium prices. Gordon Van Welle of ISO New England says we'll still need to retain the two remaining nuclear power plants in the region. They produce 20% of our electricity in the winter, but they too could be replaced.
Offshore wind is a lot more economic than nuclear power. If you pair that up with storage, you could get to the same place as nuclear energy.
Solar generation storage is also coming to New England.
And this is actually the first time that residential solar and storage has participated in a forward capacity market in the U.S.
Audrey Lee is vice president of grid services with the rooftop solar company Sunrun. The San Francisco firm recently announced the first of its kind partnership in the country with National Grid to provide New England residents solar collectors and storage batteries, creating a virtual renewable energy power plant.
It's a virtual power plant because it can provide the same grid services that a centralized fossil fuel power plant can. And because our solar and battery systems are connected to the internet, they can be networked together. We monitor them 24/7 and we can control them.
And so the holy grail right now is storage.
Again, Dan Dolan of the New England Power Generators Association.
To what degree can storage help to match when the wind doesn't blow or when the sun doesn't shine is so critical on the system. And for that, maintaining efficient and modern natural gas generation fleet is going to be critical.
Utility grid-scale storage batteries are very expensive. Natural gas is cheap and cleaner than burning oil or coal, yet still dangerously climate disruptive. But advocates of natural gas say we need gas generators as a bridge to ensure reliability to a clean energy future.
I don't think it's a question of how long the bridge is. I think it's a question of how wide the bridge is.
Paul Hibbard is an energy infrastructure expert with Boston-based Analysis Group.
Natural gas's role will change over time.
The use of natural gas to generate electricity is expected to increase as old fossil fuel plants retire. But we can't get to our mid-century climate goals with gas as our dominant source of energy. There's a growing consensus: a tax on carbon will be needed to discourage and drive down the use of fossil fuels economy-wide.
It can't just be on power plants.
Dan Dolan says electric generators have done the most of any sector of the economy to clean up its act. It's now the third largest emitter of climate-changing gases in New England.
Not one, not two, but third. We need to address transportation, which emits roughly double the amount of carbon of any other sector.
Again, grid operator president Gordon Van Welle.
You know, if you think about an electric vehicle, it's equivalent to your whole house's electrical demand.
Thanks largely to energy efficiency measures, over the last decade, the demand for electricity in New England has been declining.
But we don't think that will remain that way for long. And so if we're going to move the transportation fleet to the grid, then it's going to go up again.
That doesn't necessarily mean we'll need more power generators. Four out of the five most energy-efficient states in the nation are in New England. Massachusetts leads the pack. Dan Dolan says even without getting greener, the current electric grid can handle the additional load and reduce vehicle emissions.
We go from in the low 20 miles per gallon to an MPG equivalent of over 100 MPG just by using the existing electric generation fleet. And so we see a massive opportunity to use some of the extraordinary gains that have been made on power plant emissions and start to now transport it to the cars, buses, and trains that are used.
Anticipating the future of energy is a very risky, big bucks business. Few saw the shale gas fracking revolution coming just a decade ago. It transformed our region. But today, the uncertainties are growing even greater, says ISO New England's Gordon Van Welle.
And I don't know if you've noticed, we've been having these once in 50-year events, once every 2 years in recent times. So there's definitely a series of interactions happening in climate that are making our past experience no longer a good predictor of what comes in the future.
To reduce market uncertainty and price spikes due to increasingly unpredictable winter weather, Van Welle wants to change the way wholesale electricity is bought and sold.
Our classic model for managing this through the wholesale market is no longer sufficient for where we're going.
The grid operator wants to give buyers of wholesale electricity 3 days instead of one to bid for energy, so the market can better adapt to weather conditions. And Dan Dolan says his power generator companies also need improved market signals to help guide future investments.
There are enormously interesting technologies, but they all come at a cost. And so if we're going to meet the climate change challenge and meet it economically, that's going to require a lot more innovation.
And billions of dollars. But at risk is the climate and energy future of New England. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gellerman.